Hello, lovely listeners. This is Courtney checking in to let you know that Jackie and I are currently working really hard on our fourth season. And in the meantime, we are going to go ahead and re-release some episodes for you to revisit, or maybe you missed some of them, and this is actually the first time you get to listen to them. Either way, we're so grateful you're here, and we cannot wait to share season four with you. So thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon. Hello, and welcome to Why Did I Keep This? A podcast about things that have been living in the back of our closets. Recent time at home and the trend of constantly spring cleaning during the pandemic has forced us to face why we have such a hard time of getting rid of things and our relationship with material goods. Joining me, Courtney Vinaes, on the podcast today are Lana Cuthbertson, an entrepreneur living in Montreal who has an impressively strict one-in, one-out policy that some, parentheses Jackie, would call dictatorshipy. We've got Jackie Glick, a producer living in LA who always knows the newest trends and loves a sample sale. Me, Courtney Vinaes, a voice and face actor and a comedian living in LA, am a thrift store enthusiast and online shopper. And today, joining us, our guest is Laurel Bristow, an infectious disease researcher and Instagram science brain. Laurel, hi. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Oh my God. Hello. Thanks for being here. How's everyone doing? How are y'all doing today?
Just great. I announced to the group just prior to our recording that I watched The Devil Wears Prada yesterday again after not seeing it in many years. And I'm just realizing now sort of how appropriate that movie was as prep for today. And FYI, it's still good.
Keep that in the closet. Mm-hmm. Laurel, thank you so much for coming. We're so excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Any excuse to talk about my impressive closets?
It is such, Laurel, I'm thrilled
Courtney
to have
has
you here.
Seen my, Courtney has seen my closet. It's probably 20% of my apartment. It's huge compared to the rest of my apartment. So it's a lot of stuff in there.
Why? Is it like, is it that how the apartment came or is this by design?
No, it's how the apartment came. I'm not really sure what their thought process was, if they had originally thought they were going to put a washer and dryer in there, which I wish they would have because I don't have in-unit laundry. But it is like anyone who comes to my house, it's like I give them the tour. It's a very small apartment. It's, I think, 400, maybe 450 square feet. It's like a very small apartment. But anybody who comes over, I'm like, let me show you the closet. And they're like, oh, it's giant.
It's giant.
That sounds like our kind of closet.
It's a Oh my God. It's truly like when I came to visit, I thought that was going to be my little like bedroom. And it kind of was.
I could definitely be
a bedroom.
I could have fit a queen mattress in it, but it doesn't have any heating or cooling vents. And Courtney came in July, which would have just been child cruelty to make her sleep in that room.
Crack a window.
Yeah. No, it's really impressive. So your closet itself is impressive. And then everything in it. Like you have very fun style and you're very creative and I secretly want to steal a bunch of things. Like the times you've let me borrow a piece of clothing, I'm always very honored. So thrilled
Courtney
to have
and
you
I
here
do,
today.
Do mail each other clothing back and forth quite regularly.
Yeah, I have a bag of American Apparel bras I need to send you because they don't work on me.
I have a silver dress that you let me borrow for Halloween that I need to send back to you. So perfect.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is such a good idea. And mostly I've been mailing puzzles back and forth to my friends and family members over the last few months.
Throw a puzzle in there when you send me something.
Maybe I will. I do have a puzzle that's just in a bag. There's no reference picture. So that's a real chaotic. Like someone gave that to me. I'm
like, I have a puzzle I'd really like to offload. Maybe I can participate in this.
Is it the one that's one color?
Yes. I thought it looked so cool. It's not.
Yeah. Is it like gradient at all or is it truly
It's like blue to green. It's brutal. It's a present. Yes. It's a gift. Happy birthday, Laurel.
Thank you.
I also heard a rumor, it was from your own mouth, that you sometimes make your own clothes.
Yeah, I do. I like to sew a lot. I make very intense Halloween costumes and I've made quite a few pieces of clothing that I wear regularly, but I've also made a lot of clothing that I hate as soon as I'm done with it and never wear. And so that's like a whole other level of consumerism, to spend hours and hours on a piece of clothing that then lives in your closet that you don't want to wear, but you also spent so much time on it, so you don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah, and you can't. It's not like you can give it to somebody else because you sewed this to fit you.
Though I will say, one of my proudest moments was something that I sewed for myself that I wore a bunch. I donated to a Buffalo Exchange and they took it.
That's
happened with a couple of pieces that I made something good enough that they were like, yep, we can resell this. And I was like,
labelless purchases from a consignment store are very impressive.
This is a whole new category.
Yeah. Right? Oh my God. I feel like I came unprepared for this.
You sometimes sew things though too, Courtney.
I've sewed a couple aprons. 2D things are basically what I'm not tech, you know, but like flat things. Anything, yeah. If you want me to throw a curve in, like, I'm gonna need a few days. I'm gonna really need to think about that. But yeah, I've used my sewing machine that I got this summer to fix things, like little patches. And then also the new things I've sewn a handful of aprons, they're flat, and a couple bags. So again, they're what I call 2D. They're just a couple pieces of fabric sewn together and then turned inside out. And I'm like, this is great. I learned how to do this in middle school. I still got it.
I struggle with buttons, so that sounds amazing.
Well, okay, let's get in to why Laurel kept this. Laurel, hi. We understand that you have brought and by understand, I mean we asked you to bring something to the podcast. And we'd love to hear what that thing is and why you think you kept it.
Yes. So I will preface this by saying I have lived in this apartment for 3 years. It's got big closets, so you can keep a lot of stuff. And I have been spring cleaning and I found this item. Mind you, my apartment complex does not have a pool. And yet I have 3 pool floats that are in my closet that came with me from another location. Like, I packed them and I moved them to this apartment and stored them for 3 years. I guarantee I have not used them in the last 3 years.
Wait, so how many moves have they made it with you? Just one? Or
made it from one. Wow. One location to the next. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to get rid of them? Or are you going to keep them?
What if I need them?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one day you might have a pool. And then
what if I get invited to a pool party? Hang on, I'm gonna grab one of them to show you, because it's a quality pool float. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Oh, I'm excited
to see this.
There's something about a pool float that gives me so much hope, and so much. It's like I will meet. Like, I want to use this so badly. Like, okay, Laurel, can we see what it is?
So you can see this is a compact pool float situation. It has a strap. So you can carry it like a little purse. But this pool float is dope. I think I got this at Target. It is basically a big oval where you inflate the outside of it, and then it has a mesh net in the bottom. And this is really good because it's transportable. You don't have to deal with like trying to deflate a huge thing. It's just the ring on the outside, so it's quick. And it's the kind of pool float where you're like half in, half out on a hot day. Yeah. So I love it, and I hope to have an opportunity to use it again. So it's staying, but I was surprised to find it because it clearly got put where it got put when I moved into this apartment and had not been touched since.
And so you have 3 of those.
No, I have. So I have that one. I have your standard $5 rectangular inflate by mouth pool float, classic, elegant, timeless. And I also have, and this one actually I did technically buy here. It is a 2-person giant float with a cooler in the middle that I actually bought when Courtney visited, because we did in Atlanta, you can do what's called shooting the hooch, which is where you tube down the Chattahoochee River. And I made Courtney do that with me, but it's like a very big pool float that I have still like hung on to.
I mean, that sounds like the most practical of all of them. A cooler in the middle?
Yeah,
it
was great.
It takes up a lot of real estate, though.
It does. Mm-hmm. You
and once, I used it
you
once.
had you had to leave me in a parking lot with it for like an hour to go.
Okay, it was just being a little bit dramatic. We were just parking the other car at the end of the river.
I was in a different state I'd never been at.
No, it was fine. We couldn't fully inflate it in the car and transport it because it's so big. We like semi-inflated it and then finished inflating it in the parking lot. And then I have a lovely picture of Courtney guarding it, wearing her life vest when we returned to go down the Chattahoochee River. But yeah, that one is big, and that one I'm also not going to get rid of because what if I need it? This is my problem.
What if she comes back again and you want to do the river again?
I know. Well, like, I mean,
when I do come back, I will use that again. Thank you very much.
I just have to accept that it's worthwhile to hold on to it. But this is my problem with items is I will be a little pack ratty. I will save weird stuff like forever and ever and ever. And then one day in like a fit of rage of why did I keep this? I'll throw stuff out. And then within a week, I'll regret it. I'll be like, oh no, I need that thing right now.
We think it's great that you have three pool noodle things.
I really enjoy the description of the one of them as classic, elegant, and timeless, because I believe that we have all used that phrase a number of times about a number of things for the reason why we kept something. And like a pool floaty as classic, elegant, and timeless is just the best thing. I really love it, and I fully buy it. I'm right into it.
I can see it. Is it white with blue potentially?
It's orange. It's that you know, it's the lounger with the, it's got a pillow.
It's got the pillow.
And then what is it? Longitudinal stripes of insulation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you tried to sit on it on the concrete, it's going to pop immediately, but I'm holding on to it.
I mean, look, these unicorn floaties and these pizza floaties and all these like crazy emoji floaties.
Flamingos.
They're fun, but they are not as comfortable nor as practical as the all-time classics.
No, there's so many of those pool floaties that the ring is far too large. You just fall right through.
100%. Mm-hmm. And you also have to like sit with your legs in the air if you're going to sit on one of those flamingos. Like, what is the point? I want to lounge when I'm in the pool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you have options there with the you can do the mesh bottom one. Oh, that's so clutch. That's so clutch. Where like you get to be in the water, but you don't have to worry about like falling through the little hole in the donut. You're like buoyed there like a perfect little angel. You're lounging, you get some water on you. Oh.
It's delightful. And I remember I bought it when I lived in North Carolina in Durham, because we would go to the quarry to go swimming. There is a decommissioned quarry that's now full of water. That's very idyllic and like beautiful. It's all surrounded by woods and everything, but it's like, 100 feet deep. So you got to have a float because you're not just wading in a shallow end. Mm. Don't drop your keys.
I wonder if your closet also has things like skis or toboggans or sleds or, seasonal sporting goods that you can't really use in Atlanta because you don't have a pool or snow or, is this a trend?
I definitely have two vintage ski suits that were my mom's. I have never lived somewhere where it snows. I think the last time I went to the snow was also with Courtney when we went to Tahoe 6 years ago, I'm going to say.
Let's just not name how many years ago it was.
Those have made it through every move that I have ever done. They come with me everywhere. Not getting rid of those anytime soon.
Do you ski though? Do you actually ski or do you just sometimes visit snowy areas?
Sometimes I go into a place where it's cold.
Great.
Are these vintage ski suits like one piece neon and white kind of style?
Yeah, one of them is a one piece. It's black and then it has like an angular design around the collar that I believe is like purple, gold, and turquoise. And the other one is a overalls with a pullover parka situation that's hot pink.
Oh, so good.
This is amazing. You can never get rid of those. Like the idea of you not having those breaks my heart.
They were my mother's, and when I think I borrowed them one time to go to Tahoe very long time ago, and then she was emptying out our childhood home and going to move cross country and said, I think I had put them back at that point. And she was like, do you want these snowsuits? Like, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff. And I said, yes, absolutely. Give them to me. So I kept them in San Francisco. And then several years later, she was like, I think I want those snowsuits back. And I was like, excuse me, you were going to donate these and I rescued them. I am not your temporary holding place. These are my snowsuits now.
Good for you. Good for you for standing up to that woman.
Thank you.
Your mother. Mother.
That woman, your mother.
Laura, I love that. I actually, so I'm going to jump into the portion where we talk about things that mm-hmm. your items have influenced. And I'm so happy that you still have all those pool floats. And then that's what you talked about, because I feel like that was so much of like the beginning of our friendship, was going to your mom's house and like hanging out in her pool. In fact, one year we did like a shared birthday party together, and I got little inflatable flamingo like can holders for the pool, like little like mm-hmm. tiny flamingos that you put a little beer can in. I still have them. I also have not had a pool. And I gave one away to my friend's like 3-year-old daughter for like bath time. And I sort of regret it. Like I was like,
yeah, she doesn't need a beer in the bath. Probably.
That's incredible, because my recollection of those things is that mm-hmm. they did not work that well.
They didn't. They didn't work.
The beers kept falling off, spilling into the pool, because they would they be did. Like the wrong mm-hmm. – they weren't and deep enough yeah. to support the beer, so the beer was top heavy, and it would just mm-hmm. – at my mom's pool was like
a little 0.2%
beery. Beer by the end
yeah. of it. Like not – it was above the legal limit for yeah. sure. Could not – your pool could not drive
no.
After that party. No, but I kept them all. They're in a like an old – I found them when I did my most recent move, so they have also lasted 2 moves, and I just really like them, and they give me hope. They give me hope that I will one day throw a party in a pool. In my head, I'm like, should I get rid of these? And I'm like, no. You might attend or even throw a party in a pool. You live in LA now, Courtney. There are pools here. You must hold on to these. So
you yeah. know what I actually think that might be perfect for is in my dreams, Courtney, this summer, you and Mikey buy like one of those adult blow-up pools, like for children, but bigger, I guess mm-hmm. is how I would classify it. Mm-hmm. And then we sit there and have the little drinks in that little baby pool. And then, you know, maybe the balance will work.
Oh, that, you know what? I hope that too. In this dream, they work. In this yeah, dream, in reality, they haven't worked.
You guys could do that. And you could also just have like, I'm just imagining those like metal buckets that people sometimes fill with drinks, but mm-hmm. you just put water in those so that the beers can float next to you, but not in the same body of water.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Smart. This Smart. Is why you're a scientist, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to economize space, you guys.
Oh, man. Brilliant. This is great. I'm taking notes. I see this, and I see this in our future. And just after this, you know, last year, it's nice. It's nice to dream. It's really nice to dream. So I cannot get
rid
of
those.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring them to Palm Springs.
I will bring them to Palm Springs. I'll let the beers spill into the hotel's pool. Who cares?
I'll just
put it right next to me. I'll put it on the concrete. But as long as my little beer or beverage or LaCroix or whatever has like a nice place to sit, that's all that matters.
I really Style. Like this category of thing that like, why did you keep it? Because of hope. And you've brought it through a couple moves. And not only have you brought it through a couple moves, but now it becomes something that you are going to pack with you on a trip in your suitcase, taking up space. It's that critical of an item. This is like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a full sort of journey of an item to the sort of like the primary needed spot of it will sit in a suitcase with me when I travel.
I am definitely Reese Witherspoon in Wild before she met the guy who was like, you got to cut back on stuff, where she was carrying like books with her. You remember? And then he was like, you don't need this, and made her like throw away all her condoms or whatever. Anybody yeah. remember that?
I remember that.
I'm like, the thing that's fresher in my mind is the Gilmore Girls reunion season where Lorelai does Wild and has to throw away a bunch of stuff. So I've got like the reference of the reference in my brain as the
When I moved to Montreal for grad school, I remember having my friend Lior come over and help me pack. And I wanted to take a glass pie plate because I was moving to go to school and I love pie. And I was trying so hard to squish it into my one suitcase that I was taking. And she was like, she like picked up the pie plate and like basically like, if it could have been smashed over my head, she would have done it. She was like, you don't take a pie plate when you're going to grad school. This is not okay. And like put it away to the side and was like, take your shoes, dummy.
Shoes in Montreal? I don't know, Jaggie.
I was like, but I could get shoes there. And she was like, you could also get a pie plate there.
I have an item that I've thought of that like relates to some of the things we've been talking about. And it is like, so as a Canadian, this pool paraphernalia category is less prominent for me. There was like one pool that existed growing up and one person had a pool and it was just like, it was a much
I mean, all
more
three of us
thing.
Have the same number of pools regardless of location. I would just like to remind you of that, but continue.
Fair enough. Fair point. However, what we did have a lot of was like winter, of course, stuff like winter activities and winter paraphernalia. And as a kid, it was the critical item as a kid to have in for the winter was a pair of snow pants, like very robust, sort of like thick, you know, snow pants that could keep you warm for, you know, during lunch recess, during a snowball fight for an hour, or like going to the playground in the winter and building a fort and like just being outside in the winter for hours. You needed a really robust pair of snow pants. And like, these are also things that are necessary for skiers and snowboarders. So I still have my pair of like my last pair of kid snow pants is what I still have. They're like just, you know, they're white snow pants. They're a pair of white snow pants. They match the snow.
Are they Sun Ice?
Are they? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they might be Columbia.
Oh, good.
I was going to ask. Sponsorship like, opportunity?
Yeah. Columbia, sponsor us.
Yeah. And they're like, they're so, I've had them for probably 2 decades and will still wear them on like a downhill ski trip, going to the Rocky Mountains maybe and like doing a big downhill ski trip. And then I did wear them recently to go tobogganing with my niece and nephew. That was like another good sort of use case for these snow pants. But like, I haven't replaced them. I don't like, they're perfectly good snow pants still. And like, they're a thing that I still need occasionally, even if I don't wear them for 5 years at a time, which has been known to happen. And like, yep, they've survived multiple moves, all of my moves ever. I think I like got them when I lived in the house that I grew up in and have moved a number of times since then, and I still have them.
Well, that just sounds like they were a smart investment.
There you go.
It's smart an investment piece. An investment mm-hmm. piece.
Classic, timeless, elegant snow pants.
I have like, you know, those winter boots that have like an insert that you put your foot into, this like thermal felt insert, and then you put your foot into the boot. I have my childhood ones of those. They were called Snow Stompers. They were adorable. They're bright red. They still stay at my parents' house for any trips that I go there. And I wore them recently tobogganing. It's true.
Okay, guys. Amazing. I have a
tobogganing
quick
is sledding, of
Thank
course.
You.
Okay.
Okay. Did you see me just like,
Yeah, sorry. I think we talked about this once before on the podcast. Tobogganing is sledding. And it's the it's now culturally a very Canadian word.
I just want to say
it comes
up
more than I thought it ever would.
I just want to say I am so thrilled to finally have Laurel here, another Californian who doesn't know much about snow.
Yeah, you were talking about the thermal inserts of those boots, and I was shaking my head like I had any idea what you're talking about.
Idea.
I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
These are great little things. Like, they are like – they look
are they
like
just socks?
Because they're like a full – like, imagine if you took a piece of thick felt, just like a square – piece of felt and like put your foot on top of that felt and like wrapped the felt around your foot and stapled it on the top. That is literally what they look like. Like, that's what comes inside of these boots. That's what you're talking about, right, Jackie?
Yeah. Okay. And then it's like, it's kind of like the tongue, you know, like in a sneaker, the tongue is made out of this felt thing that you've put your foot into prior to putting your foot into the boot.
I don't think I could handle living in cold weather. Every time I'm like, snow seems nice. Maybe I could live someplace where it snows. And then you hear like it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm so grateful I grew up in like the desert by like a beach. I feel like it's so much cheaper to live where it's just like hot. Like, I don't have to worry, like, snow tires, like that's the thing you have to like buy and like be aware of, like the time of mm-hmm. year and things like a couple episodes ago, Lana, you were talking about how like street salt ruined a pair of your shoes. Like, I don't want to think about environmental damage on my goods. Like, just, I will not survive any place outside of Southern California. I am a fragile little hothouse flower.
I mean, I have suede shoes now, which is a real exciting time for me.
I'm really jealous. I'm really jealous. There's like a time towards the end of the winter as it starts to turn into spring where I just like, no matter how cold it still is, I cannot wear a parka one more day. It's just too bulky and too much and too frustrating and too annoying to like put it all on. So I'm usually just cold for the last few weeks of winter.
Yeah. Is that where That's you are fine. Now? Is it starting to – are you starting to get glimmers of spring?
Glimmers. It's like there's a slow melt happening.
Mm.
There is hope.
Yeah. Jackie was explaining to me about snow mold, which is a concept I didn't know anything about.
Yeah. Wait, what is snow mold?
Yeah snow mold is like when – it's like an allergy season sort of thing. It's like when the snow has melted or begins to melt, the stuff under the snow is revealed again. It's just a nice little bed of allergens that find people's noses and make them run.
Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly, if it's like the previous fall's dead vegetation that has then become
it's like the
wet.
Mulchy dead leaves wet sitting there for 6 months
under the snow. I guess that makes perfect sense. Of course, like where else is it supposed to go?
It's like the decomposing goo under the snow.
I'm thrilled that's a thing I've never even had to think about until today. Yeah. And you know what? In an hour, I'm going to forget about it. I'm going
to carry on living the rest of your life in peace.
Yeah. Free of snow mold.
I mean, LA has its own special things. Like Alberta doesn't have any rats, for instance. And
it's like a weird provincial point of pride that Alberta is rat free. And it's like,
why is Alberta rat free?
There was a premier at some point who was like, we shall be rat free and banished the rats. Like, think about what it would take to banish rats.
They were evicted. They were evicted and they had to leave and they went to British Columbia, a rat infested province.
Maybe all the rats were just like, I'm gonna go someplace where it's warmer. I don't like it here. What if all the rats are allergic to snow mold and they decide?
Lana, this is a real question. Is the rat patrol real, or is that just something that we grew up thinking was real?
I think it is real. I think there is a real rat patrol with a real logo of like a scary looking rat. And it exists and it is publicly funded by the Alberta provincial government to keep Alberta rat free. And
they just patrol the borders.
They just patrol the borders. They're all spaced out.
Sponsor us, Alberta.
How do they spot the little tiny rats?
I got to look into this. Stay tuned, everybody. This is like, we've got to do a part two.
They put like a flashlight on them. They're like, hey, you get back on the other side of that line.
Get over there.
Yes, rats. I don't know what's so hard
to... Rat negotiation is a course we all have to take in high school.
Ratatouille was a very... Like, that movie just showcases how smart rats actually are and how they really understand the nuances of flavor and also borders.
Yeah, they know. They know when they're breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly.
They know what they're doing.
Jackie, has anything occurred to you in this theme of stuff? Do you have pool noodles hanging around? Do you have old snow suits or equipment?
Was that a thing you were looking forward to? Like when you moved from Toronto to LA, were you like jazzed to be like by the ocean, like in a town where there are pool parties and whatnot?
You know, I don't think I've fully adapted to living in a place where you can go outside. As you see me now, I'm wearing a long sleeve cashmere sweater, and I think it's probably in the 70s outside, but it's still March, so I still feel like I deserve to be wearing sweaters. And so I don't really go to the beach. I don't love sand. It's not my favorite. I don't like going into the water and then coming out and getting like sand on my feet. I love being in the water. Don't mind being on the sand. Hate when the two touch.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's the worst. That is the worst part of the beach, is like when you leave the beach and you can't get, you're like, what am I supposed to do with my feet now? Because my feet are covered in sand, but I got to put my little shoes on so I can get back to my car. And there's just like no getting it all out of there.
I've been thinking a lot about this. I think maybe if you had like diaper wipes in the car, you could like wipe your feet before getting into the car, or like, you know, there is a way. I just don't know what it is.
I
was going
to say, when I grew up, it was always used baby powder. Like before you got into the car, you like threw that on your feet. And I don't know.
So this is why I need to make friends with the locals. And then, you know, the other thing is I go back to Canada a lot. So I think I've spoken to this on the podcast, that my closets in LA are full of long johns and scarves and hats and toques and sweater. Like just, I have a very robust.
What's a toque?
It's a beanie.
It's a beanie.
Oh, okay.
I knew that one.
Oh, man.
It's a beanie.
I'm worldly like that.
You very do worldly. Also own two snowsuits, so
yeah. Well, if you were going tobogganing, you'd wear your toque, and so now Laurel knows.
This is my bad boy.
But yeah, so I have pretty much all weather gear except for LA stuff. Like I don't have beach chairs. I have one beach towel actually, and I think my husband has a beach towel, so we are set for beach towels. But we don't have beach chairs. We don't really have like hiking stuff. If I hike, I'm like wearing just regular old yoga clothes, which I guess is what people hike here in. I don't know. I don't do that.
I think that sounds pretty LA. Like yoga clothes for hiking sounds very
LA. I feel like LA's definition of hiking is a fairly low impact too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's there's like one trail with like a lot of hills, and that's the one that goes to the Hollywood sign. The rest is like pretty easy. So.
Yeah, well, I haven't really partaken in any of the LA outdoor activities, so most of my closets are still full of snow stuff.
No, hey,
doesn't
you
make
know
any
what?
Sense, but
with climate change, who knows? Maybe you'll need that in a few years in LA. Anyway, not to take it dark. What was your item?
I don't know. I have long johns. I've got like several pairs of them. I likely only need to keep one, if that. But I've got so much long underwear. I think that might be the one thing that I've never actually even considered using in LA.
Okay. Here's the funny thing, because I don't have any long underwear, and I don't think I ever have. So, and I've always
send it to you is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'll take that long underwear off your hands. How do you wear it? Like how? Oh no, I did have one pair of long underwear that I bought like specifically for traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Once I remember that now, and it's long gone. But
my long underwear parka wearing days did not originate in Northern Canada, where we're from. It actually started when I moved to Toronto, and I started working on film sets at night in the winter. And so during that time, if you're not wearing as many layers as you can physically put on your body, you're going to be very uncomfortable. So. I actually wore my long johns. I wear them in the fall when I'm filming because I'm always cold. But you just wear them under your pants, or like now I have so many more sweatpants. I would probably wear them under sweatpants and layer on the sweatpants. And then you like it's for those times where you're just like you have to stand outside for a bit.
Right.
It's you know, it's not instead of snow pants, but in addition to snow pants, it's really helpful.
Okay.
I'll send you a set. How about that?
Thank you very much.
So many.
I think it's also really hard to like break yourself of these dressing habits too when you move, because I grew up in the Bay Area, which is, you know, as soon as the sun goes down, it's like 50 degrees, even if it's the middle of July. And living in Atlanta, it'll be, you know, 90 degrees at midnight and super humid in the summer. And the first time when I would come visit friends out here, I had a friend pick me up from the hotel I was staying at because I was out here for a meeting at the CDC. And I like run out to her car. It's like July. And I get in the car and she's like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Oh," because I was holding like a jacket in my hand. And I was like, "In case I get cold." And she was like, "That's not going to happen. And you're just going to be annoyed that you're carrying that all night." And she was right. Like, you just, but I can't, I have so many jackets here in Atlanta and I still have a really hard time remembering, like, nope, you don't need to bring one out for the evening. Like, it's going to be tank top weather all the way through till morning.
Yeah. That is my favorite thing about Southern California after living in the Bay Area for 8 years was not having to carry, like, I always had a big purse with me in the Bay Area. Like, I always used like a big old tote bag because you have to layer. And it's not that it ever gets like freezing cold, but like during the day, you know, maybe you'll be in like a t-shirt and jeans, but by night you'll want like a thin scarf and like at least a sweater or like a jacket. And it's so nice to live someplace where you do get those like hot summer nights. Like, I love a hot summer night. Like, I love wearing a tank top at like midnight.
Outdoor dinner,
yeah.
Also.
Oh, outdoor dinner. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. good. Laurel.
Lana, I'm so glad beautiful. You finally sang on this. After all the talk of choir, it took you 10 episodes to finally sing something.
I couldn't let it pass. I was like, how can we not sing that song?
A fun fact about where Courtney and I live is that sort of between us now is the high school where they filmed Grease.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Perfect.
I used to drive by it all the time. And I was like, hey.
Olivia, now we drive by it on each other, on the way to each other's houses.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, Laurel, another sort of facet of this podcast is that we talk about something that we've gotten rid of that we just desperately miss. We call it the empty hanger. And is there anything that we should talk about that you need to, you know, commemorate in any way?
Yeah, there is a loss that I think I need to mourn. And it's mm-hmm. it's even more painful because it was not my fault that it's gone. And that is, I started sewing because my mom sews a lot. My mom used to sew all of our Halloween costumes by hand. Like, you tell her what you want and she makes it happen. And she sewed clothing when she was in her early 20s, when she was in like the 70s, and had a bunch of those outfits that she had sewn that I loved. And we, when she was moving out of the childhood home and selling it, we had either a miscommunication or she sent the wrong bag to Goodwill, but all those outfits are gone.
Oh, and I know.
Think about them like every day. Like, I literally saw a TikTok today of a girl, she's probably 18. She was visiting her grandma and her grandma has like meticulously kept all of her like favorite outfits from the 60s and the 70s. So it's this like these incredible like hostess gowns and paisley and mini skirts that are in perfect condition, that are like mint from that era. And I saw it and I just like, my heart broke again, thinking about how badly my mom had made these like beautiful wrap skirts with like a matching tie top that she wore to a bunch of weddings. There was like a green one and there was this like multicolored, like striped tan one. Like, I can see them in my brain so clearly. If I ever see someone wearing them on the street, like the lucky person that found them in the thrift store, I'm gonna jump them and I'm gonna take it back. It's my birthright. Like, I'm so sad about it.
That
it's hard.
Yeah, the first time I remember you met, you're like, I feel like your mom posted something about it on Instagram, and then you immediately commented, you're like, no, you were supposed to keep those or something like that. Anyways, yeah, there's some Instagram drama between you and your mom.
Stirred up some drama between the two of us.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that's painful. That actually, I've mentioned that on a couple of our episodes, like the things that like the cool things my parents had, which just disappeared. I think a lot of things also ended up in a bag when they retired and moved to Arizona I can't find them anywhere. And I'm, and like some of the things like were either homemade or like had homemade like parts of them. And I'm just like, those are the things you keep, you ding dongs. Like, what are you thinking? I want to talk about another thing, that it has nothing to do with me technically, but Laurel. So a couple years ago, you sewed a Halloween costume for you and our friends Matt and Erica, and the three of you went as the Belcher children from Bob's Burgers, and you sewed Matt a hamburger, like the hamburger outfit. And then I think you gave that hamburger away to someone on like Craigslist or something.
I posted it on Craigslist free, and like people lost their minds.
Yeah. And that was the thing where I was like, I shouldn't have let her do that. Oh, I should have. I have no need for like a hamburger, like what are they called? Like the sandwich board?
Yeah, it's like a sandwich costumes. That's all squishy. It was a good hamburger costume.
It was a good hamburger costume. And that's the thing I think about a lot. And I've never had need.
That's so funny. I'll make you a hamburger if you want a hamburger.
I mean, I don't know. It'd be different. It would be different.
I can make you your own kind of food if you wanted a suit. If you wanted,
yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's not that hamburger, so it wouldn't be the same.
But I agree. For me, I love sewing, and then I have the costumes, and I don't really care about keeping them that much. Like I made a big mermaid tail one year, and so I'll give them away a lot of the time. And it's like I wish I was in the financial bracket where I could just like have a storage unit where I put the costumes that I've made. There are some times where you're like, oh, I don't really want to give this away, but I also don't want to keep it. So it's a hard thing to reconcile.
Yeah. It's like you made this, you spent the time on it. You always knew it was only for one night. But like the idea of getting rid of it. Anyways, I think about that hamburger, like a weird amount.
That's so funny.
So the next time you sew a hamburger, just, you know, like
I'll give it
know.
To you instead. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it won't be the same, but it's just all I ask.
Speak up next time. Lesson learned.
I will. Okay. All right. Fine. I will. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to consult your friends before you give away your hamburgers.
That's true.
Friends don't That's let true. Friends give away hamburger costumes.
If I was eating a hamburger and I was full, I would ask Courtney first if she wanted it before I threw it out.
It's and true. That should stand the same for the costumes.
Yeah, it should stay the same. You're right.
Yeah. Well, this has been the most fun King Gutter Baby live on the Real Podcast. It's so fun to meet you.
Oh my gosh, we've gone 42 minutes and 49 seconds without saying King Gutter Baby.
King Gutter Baby.
Yeah, that's me.
Laurel, King Gutter Baby is your Instagram, and it's great.
Thank you very much.
We're all followers of this King Gutter Baby, and Courtney's an old friend of the King Gutter Baby, but we all love King Gutter Baby.
Perchance one day I will be the Queen Gutter Baby.
Courtney's a friend of the crown, you know?
I would love to be I'm just a subject in the kingdom, but I would love to maybe have a ladyship, or I could be a duchess maybe.
I should start giving out titles with my power.
You have that power.
I do.
You have the power. You should, I mean, don't share the power, but like share the prestige, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Delegate is all we're saying.
Only one king, but you know, a lot of subjects. And really, duchesses and ladies just do things for the king and queen.
Yeah.
So it would probably behoove you to, you know, have some help around the house.
It's a good point. Make a good point here.
Look, I'm heavy is for a position. I'm sure this is how ladies are created on podcasts.
Hey, man, it's recorded and it's going on the internet. So once something's recorded and on the internet, there's no takesies backsies.
No takesies backsies. She said she would consider it. So
considering away.
Great.
That's great. I think that
pretty much
that covers all our bases. Well, oh my gosh, I don't know what the outro is.
The outro is basically something like, thanks so much for coming and listening to us on our podcast. And thanks, Laurel, so much for coming and hanging out with us this afternoon. We loved it, and we love our listeners. And next week, who knows what we'll talk about? And that's what makes this a true crime thriller podcast.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right, perfect.
Do you want to say it, or is that fine?
I'll say it.
Okay, go. You do it now.
I can do it. All right. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Why Did I Keep This? Thank you so much, Laurel Bristow, King Gutter Baby, you beautiful science brain, you amazing closeteer. It's been such a delight hanging out with you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for your time and for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. A big thanks to our producers. We have producers, Corey and Akshay. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes Mikey. Yeah.
And sometimes Mikey. Mikey is here too. Big moral support. He produces a lot of moral support.
Yeah.
So there's that. Next week we're going to talk about something totally mysterious. And that's why this is a true crime podcast. Tune in next week, everyone. Thanks. Bye, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty sure that was perfect. So.